welcome into Big Time Hoops, the podcast. Not Tom Bard today, as I am Taylor Mannix. You usually hear me on the podcast, The Starting Five with Abby Davids, but today I was called in to pinch hit for what should be a fantastic conversation. Today's guest is former University of Maine women's basketball coach and advocate for mental health, Joanne P. McCauley. Coach P. was at the helm of the Maine women's basketball team for 8 seasons from 1992 and 93 to 1999 and 2000. She led the Black Bears to 6 straight NCAA tournament appearances, including 4 straight conference tournament titles and 4 regular season titles. Coach also received Coach of the Year honors 4 times. She finished with an overall record of 167-73 with the Black Bears and a record of 109-25 in conference play. After leaving the University of Maine, she went on to coach at Michigan State, where she led the Spartans to the national championship game in 2005 and earned National Coach of the Year honors. Following Michigan State, she became the head women's basketball coach at Duke University, where she held the position until she resigned in 2020. Coach P was also inducted into the Maine Sports Hall of Fame in 2008. And without further ado, here is today's guest, Joanne P. McCauley, aka Coach P. Coach, thanks so much for joining us today on pretty much short notice with us to talk a little bit about Maine hoops.
Thanks for having me, Taylor. It's great to be with you all, and really appreciate the coverage you provide for Maine hoops.
Well, you know, and it's all about the kids here with Big Time Hoops, and we really love the covers. But let's just start off before we get in too deep into some of these topics, Coach. How have you been? How is life with Coach P right now here in 2024? I know you and I were just talking off air. You're enjoying quite the matchup between your alma mater right now and Northwestern on the TV.
Yeah, it's great to watch Northwestern. I am watching that as we speak just because it's down to the wire. But we're doing great. You know, 2024 is a pretty special month. My daughter, our daughter Maddie, is getting married in 2024, so there's a lot of planning. And Maddie was, of course, with us at the University of Maine and growing up as a young child and benefited from the incredible Montessori school there. And, you know, we have very fond memories. So anyway, she's getting married. I'm starting my foundation, which I've been working on trying to get all the paperwork through, Coach P for Life Brain Health Foundation. I completed a fictional novel, which is in the works of being edited, and I started another one. So I like writing. I really enjoy speaking. I've been doing some of that as well. So it's been busy, and it's been nice to kind of create my own schedule.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I was going to say, after you stepped down from Duke, for those who don't know, as we mentioned kind of in the intro, you've obviously taken a big stand with mental health, which, of course, the last time you and I talked was when you were introducing one of your books with my brother Jeff Mannix and I, and it was so cool to see that. How has that journey progressed for you?
Oh, it's been great. You know, writing 2 nonfiction novels, the first one was Choice Not Chance, that I wrote while coaching at Duke, which was really... I love that book, and Coach K wrote the intro to the book, which was very nice. And Secret Warrior was the one that got a little bit more press, just because I think the nature of the content of it, with my own brain health story as I was 30 years old, coaching at Maine, as you know. And so those two, being nonfiction, have been great to speak on and do so many different things with. But I also got bitten by the bug of fictional writing, taking fiction courses, kind of studying that a little bit, and enjoying that. So that's where I'm headed. And of course, I still speak and raise money, and I'll be raising money more so for the foundation.
That's fantastic, Coach. Sounds like you're very busy right now. So again, we appreciate you taking your time today to talk some basketball with us, and that's where I'll go with it next. Maine right now is well represented on the college basketball scene, and you know, it's been that way for a while, but as this season has developed, we've now seen quite a few Mainers participating in March Madness, whether it be on the men or women's side. How has it been for you, Coach, to watch this from afar and to now have not just Northwestern to root for, but also a bunch of these Mainers that are partaking in March Madness this season?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the University of Maine women, you know, with Amy and what she's done with the team, and just watching them battle Ohio State, I know the outcome is disappointing, but at the same time, the way they compete, the championships they've brought to the University of Maine, the opportunity I had to come meet the team, speak with the team, and work with the team a little bit was something I just, you know, never forget. What a great opportunity to be back. And so I can't say enough about what Amy has done with her work and with her staff and with her great players. And then on top of that, as you mentioned, I mean, we've got some really great players Anna DeWolf, as you know, and then, you know, Mackenzie Holmes, as you also know, you know, representing our great state so well, you know, with terrific programs. And, you know, Maine basketball continues to grow, and it's committed young people loving the sport. It's committed coaches loving coaching. And anyway, I just think it's all very exciting.
Yeah, and we'll definitely get into some of these individuals as we go. But as you kind of mentioned, Maine unfortunately falls short 80-57. The game really just ended, Coach, when you and I were starting our conversation. And Simon finishes with 25 points on 11 of 21 shooting. Again, one of the great Maine basketball players to come through. What did you see in that game, Coach? You were obviously able to catch a little bit of it. What was your kind of instant reaction to that loss? You mentioned already, I mean, what this program's come to, it feels like they're building consistently towards eventually winning one of these games, but Ohio State just seemed to have a little bit more today.
Oh, absolutely. Ohio State is a loaded team with talent. You know, they won the Big Ten, so we can't say enough about how good Ohio State is, particularly at home. So that's been, you know, that's a hard thing to be playing on the, you know, on the a tough championship team's home floor, which is what, of course, the Maine women had to do. But Simon is just so great. And, you know, she's such a competitor. I've enjoyed watching her develop and watching her lead the program. And there are so many excellent players on the team. And I just feel like they handled themselves with poise. They attacked the pressure. They were pressed a lot in that game. And I felt that they did so many good things. And they need to hold their heads high and be proud of an incredible season.
Well, and I want to kind of continue to piggyback off this team and talk a little bit about, too, Amy. She's obviously someone, she was your point guard, and it's obviously referred to as the coach on the floor, and she was your coach on the floor at Maine. Did you see this kind of coaching success in her future when you were coaching her? I mean, obviously, she goes down as one of the most renowned women's basketball players in the state of Maine, and she's really making a name for herself in the coaching ranks. For you who got to see her kind of go through this process from a younger age, did you see this kind of success in her future?
Oh, I think, you know, I don't know if I saw it in terms of, you know, I just think about our graduates, you know, they can do so many different things, but I'm not surprised in the least bit by her success. You know, when you think about her time at Coney, her father, you know, you're talking obviously a father who's a tremendous basketball coach with great success, and all that she learned from him. When she came to Maine, there were so many elements of the game that Amy understood and could bring to our program right away. And then, you know, just leading us, again, more championships and conference championships and that incredible game, you know, against Stanford in the NCAA tournament, you know, probably one of the greatest games in the history of Maine women's basketball. And, you know, Amy was leading the way and obviously directing the show on that particular game. And many people often forget that we were just a few points away from beating Old Dominion on their home floor with a Sweet 16 berth, you know, on the line. So we, you know, we battled in that game and competed at a very high level. So Amy's been a big part, you know, of Maine women's basketball, and I'm not the least bit surprised with her success and what she's doing.
Yeah, and it's awesome. When I first started covering the team when I was up at Orono around 2016, you know, seeing Liz Wood and seeing her take over the program, it's just been so fun to watch, and I'm so happy for her too. And it feels like the sky's the limit, especially now that she has her extension. What was that like too for you, Coach, when you saw that she was going to stick around Maine for the foreseeable future?
Oh, just, you know, well-deserved, you know, for her success and, you know, her commitment to the University of Maine. And, you know, she just is very committed. And there are some exciting things happening, you know, relative to the future and the basketball facility and the commitment by the Alphons and all of that great stuff. So, you know, the future is very, very bright. And I just know that Amy is very happy. And just, again, we're so fortunate to have her leading the program.
Yeah, absolutely. And Coach Pease, for someone who has coached in a mid-major and also at Duke and Michigan State, for these mid-majors, really the only way to kind of stamp your ticket into the tournament is to win your conference. How is a coach who's been in both situations, did you approach it Was there difference in terms of prepping your teams where at Maine, maybe, you know, you have to win the tournament, whereas with Duke, it wasn't always maybe needed to win the ACC. How did you as a coach approach, again, playing for a mid-major and then the mentality when you were kind of at a blue blood there at Duke University?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. I think it's one of the hardest things to do is to win both and do what Amy's team did this year in particular. And, you know, you just have to be on it with the team. I mean, you have to recognize that the regular season is fabulous. And I loved every championship, and I made a point of letting our teams know that, you know, any championship you can compete for has incredible value. And so upon winning the regular season, you know, it's a complete reset. You know, it's the confidence in knowing that you can beat every team, but also the excitement of pursuing something new, you know, a new championship, a tournament championship. And as you know, the regular season positioned Amy's team so well to be at home, and those fans were incredible in the pit, you know, supporting the team. So they really, Amy took advantage with her team, and it was just great to see. It's really, really fun to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, especially when you coached at Duke, was there the expectations almost when you coached there and in Michigan State that you were supposed to be in the tournament each year?
Definitely those expectations. You know, when I took over at Michigan State, was there, we were in the bottom of the Big Ten, so it was a climb, and we climbed very fast. You know, in 5 years playing for the national championship, it was pretty straight up from a trajectory standpoint, and the commitment of the student athletes there and what we were able to accomplish together. So I think we set a new bar at Michigan State, having been in the Final Four and played for a national title and experienced all of that. And then coming to Duke, the bar was very, very high because it was sort of Final Four or bust kind of thing, that kind of thinking, when you look at the success on the men's side and the women's side. And so I was very proud of the four straight Elite Eights and the championships we had there. But it was tough, you know, very competitive, and certainly competing in the NCAA tournament, you know, every year, and trying to advance to the Final Four and the national title.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, Coach, I kind of want to ask a little bit about the growth of the women's game with you now, and especially in Maine. I mean, as a player, you are in many ways a pioneer for the women's game in Maine, having gone from Brunswick to Northwestern as a player and been involved with the women's game really ever since. And you recruited Maine well while you were at Orono. What has surprised you the most with the growth of Maine women's, or the women of the growth of the women's game in the state of Maine, especially at the youth level?
Well, I just love the depth. You know, I love the depth of talent. It's not surprised me. It just seems like a very natural outgrowth after having players, you know, like Cindy Blodgett, Amy Vachon, you know, two that come to mind right away that kind of paved the way to show that the University of Maine could compete at the highest level in the NCAA tournament. And I just think from there, just more growth. I mean, I know even with my cute nieces, Allie Clement, and the success she had, you know, at Macaulay, and following, you know, a family success with my sister and brother-in-law's, you know, oldest daughter. So I've just seen so many different players now. And we talked about Anna DeWolf now and, you know, Mackenzie Holmes. I played basketball against Mackenzie's mother, who was Denise Payette Holmes, who played for South Portland. So I just think there's a real intricate way. And if you go all the way back to Lisa Blaze, we can never forget that she went to Old Dominion and won a national championship. And she was the captain of that team. And so there's so much history. There's such a rich history and so much incredible progress. But I think that all Maine players, you know, should kind of recognize, you know, some of these players.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of folks, right, like I know for me, I mean, Mac is my Cindy Blodgett, but for a lot of Mainers, Cindy Blodgett will forever be a GOAT, maybe untouchable. But again, as someone for you who's coached in the Big Ten and ACC, what has impressed you most about McKinsey, and what kind of legacy do you think she's going to leave behind here for the kids in the state of Maine once her run is all said and done?
Oh, McKinsey, what I love about McKinsey is her poise, her talents, the fact that she's gotten better every single year, the fact that she's never afraid to compete against anyone, her consistent production against any opponent has been incredible. And again, for all post players out there, all women, you know, the taller women that are trying to make a difference in the game, she's an incredible role model. You know, she just carries herself in such a way. It's so impressive, you know, so incredibly impressive in every way. So I just love her, and I hope they do very well.
Yeah, especially, I mean, one of the posts I saw you share from Big Time Hoops was one where you actually enjoyed it with the idea and the visionary thinking of our good friend Tom Bard, who is the creator here, of basically the potential of a matchup with Anna DeWolf and Mackenzie Holmes. I mean, just the fact that we can even kind of fantasize about that matchup tells me just how far too Maine basketball has come in itself.
Yes, it really has. I mean, and Anna DeWolf's story is so interesting in terms of what she's done and transferring into Notre Dame and making the kind of impact that she's made as a very feisty, competitive guard, very confident. Yes, I think that was the coolest thing to put out there that they could meet, because I'm not sure everybody quite understood that, you know, right away with the brackets. And I just think that would be the coolest thing. And, you know, it just would be so, obviously they're different positions, but they still represent so much of the aspirations and, you know, motivation and role modeling that we love, you know, in the great state of Maine.
Yeah, and I think it would be quite the way to see two Maine girls, two Maine women, I should say, on the stage at that big. And I kind of want to ask you, too, speaking of women's basketball, it feels like there's really been an explosion in popularity with the women's game. We've seen the TV ratings. The Final Four ticket pricing is exceeding the men's prices this year. And obviously, the Caitlin Clark tour that's been happening all year long is attributed to that. But what do you attribute to the growth of the women's game in particular? Like, why now do you think is it becoming so popular? Like, is it the Caitlin Clark effect, or is the game just evolving in such a way that it's really starting to touch a broader audience?
Well, I think it's just a a huge crescendo in so many things. The balance, you know, Caitlin Clark going to Iowa, like a Cindy Blodgett and Amy Vashon choosing the University of Maine, what that does is spreading the wealth, the beautiful talents going different places. So Caitlin Clark didn't choose to go to Connecticut. She made a different choice, and then she elevated the University of Iowa women's team to levels that they've never, ever seen before. And so I think that's really the key, is having these stories, you know, having these catalysts, these incredible players and people that have just taken things to a new level at different programs and not the typical program, and meaning the typical program that had been to the Final Four. So it's all wonderful, and it's, you know, and then, of course, the success of Caitlin Clark and what she's been able to do, of course, that just, you know, fuels the fire across the board. And it's so interesting that Ohio State actually won the regular season. So it just shows you that there's just so many different characters out there. Then you talk about Kim Mulkey going back to LSU and her home state and what she brought and what the commitment was for women at that school. So you see the coaching level is kind of interesting and the player level is kind of interesting. And I love it, you know, and Kim Mulkey was going home and Caitlin Clark stayed home.
Right.
So that's interesting.
Right. And you got the parody is just so fun around it. And I guess, I mean, you're bringing up some of these great coaches. You're one of them, Coach P, and you're now going on about 4 years not being on the sideline. I know you've done some incredible things that I admire greatly in the mental health aspect. Seriously, I do. I got to ask, do you ever miss, because I know this is going so well for you away from the sideline, but do you ever miss being on the sideline around this time of year?
Oh, you know, I just feel like I had such a beautiful, exciting 28-year run with incredible teams. I feel very fortunate to have had that experience at the University of Maine. You know, 8 years, a real commitment, opportunity there. You know, 7 at Michigan State, which went by so fast. And it's even hard to believe 13 at Duke. So it's been quite a you know, quite a challenge every place we've been, and we just feel very grateful. And I don't feel like it's my time to be back into coaching. I do feel like I can offer a lot if a coach brings me in to help or show a matchup defense or, you know, show a couple of things. I think I can be helpful, but I don't think it's my time to be coaching anymore. And I'll let it, you know, let it be for the youthful folks out there.
Well, and Coach, for a second, I thought you were going to leave the door open there for a second for me. I was like, oh my goodness, like maybe we might see the return of Coach P. But I totally get what you're saying. And we even talked so much about Amy, but seeing those, Coach, you mentioned some of the other ones. I mean, what is that like? I mean, and what, how do you think the styles, you think that, I guess I should ask, do you believe the kind of styles of coaching from when you were in there to what it is now have changed even in the last 4 years that you've been watching women's basketball?
Well, I think it's gotten, you know, more offensive minded. I think there are more sophistication offensively. Kids are pretty, you know, student athletes are pretty geared into scoring, and they like that. And I think it's good. I think scoring is good for the game. At the same time, I think that defensively things could be better. One of the things that always, you know, interests me is multiple defenses. That's one of the reasons I felt we were pretty good teams across the years, is that we played different defenses. You know, we pressed, we didn't press. We half-court pressed, we played, you know, man, we played matchup. We had two different matchups. So I think that part of that piece has gone away a little bit. But I really love the offense and the skill set, of course, by the individual players. When you think about the shooting range of a Caitlin Clark, you know, you can see that, that she's basically, you know, just, I mean, she's changed the dimensions of scoring on the court, and it's pretty remarkable. So the skill sets, I think, are much better.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting point, too, coming from you, Coach. I would love to hear it. Some great stuff. I got to ask you now, too. I only got a couple more for you, Coach. We'll let you go. I'm watching Northeastern. I know we're in overtime now for this one, for those of you who aren't able to watch the TV screen with us. So I'm sure, Coach, you're...
Yes!
As you're sweating this one out.
My son is there as well. My son is watching, so he's gone to be with his
that's fantastic.
Former team. So it's really fun. Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm so happy for you, Coach. Of course, your alma mater getting after it. 60-58 in overtime. We'll definitely keep the listeners up to date. And you might hear from Coach P here when she gets excited from another play here, as they are in overtime in the tournament. I got to ask, though, as someone who was at Duke, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about one of the guys on the men's side here, Cooper Flagg, who is going to Duke, where you coached. I just have to know from someone who's been a part of kind of the Cameron crazies, how do you see them embracing one of Maine's own, especially Cooper Flagg?
Oh, gosh. Cooper Flagg. I can't say enough about the Flagg family. You know I coach Kelly Bowman. She was an impact person and player for my teams at Maine. Her sons are incredible. Her husband, Ralph, is incredible. And they have done such a good job supporting their kids and also keeping perspective about things, you know, and just bringing their good, you know, solid Maine upbringing to Cooper and the boys. And Cooper is going to be received absolutely beautifully. Be at Duke, I believe, for 1 year before he heads out. And I just, you know, I'm so proud of them. It's just such an awesome thing. And Kelly and Ralph and family will be this way a lot. I hope I can take him out to dinner and visit with them. That would be great. But what it's just special. And that's another area. I don't know if the state of Maine understood that they could have the best player in the country coming out of Newport.
Yeah, right. I think that's still something that a lot of people in Maine are even still tackling and wrestling with today, that, you know, one of the best players in the country, and really, I mean, maybe arguably in the world right now, is out of Newport, Maine. What kind of player was Kelly? I got to ask. You mentioned that you coached her. Does Cooper have a lot of the same kind of tendencies as Kelly had when you coached her at the University of Maine?
Well, I have to say, Cooper, you know, Cooper's Cooper, which I think he's pretty extraordinary.
Right.
But I will say, oh my gosh, Northwestern just hit a three. But Cooper has, to me, Kelly's competitive spirit and her fight, because Kelly, no matter what, was always confident, regardless of who we were playing, and had a fight and a spirit about her that was really fun to coach. I just remembering her, spending time with my daughter. Kelly have had all sides to things, and so I really, and challenging me as well as a head coach, she would do that too. There's a lot of great things about Kelly, and I know Cooper's taken the best, without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that little mention about Kelly. I gotta ask too, before we let you go, Coach, final four predictions for the women's side. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but just if you have them, could you maybe throw them our way if you've done a bracket?
Well, I don't know.
no worries if you haven't put them together.
I'm just trying to think who I really want to be there. I mean, Right. Okay, so Indiana or Notre Dame, right? Because they're right. Going to play off against each other.
Hopefully they make it there, right, Coach? That's what we're all hoping for up here in the state of Maine.
Yes, we are. And so one of them, right?
One of the main
you know, players, either McKenzie or Anna. And after that, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Probably South Carolina. I think it'd be neat, actually, to see Connecticut. But remember, Syracuse is my former assistant, Felicia Leggett-Jack, and she's in that bracket. So I really want Syracuse in. But they're going to have to beat Connecticut at Connecticut to do it. I don't know. I can't really – listen to me. I can't be decisive.
Well, I'm laughing. Like, all the personal ties, it must be very hard to choose from.
It is. It really is. You tend to just kind of want them all to play their best.
Right. I love it. Well, Coach, and the human being you are, we're all very lucky to have had you in our time up here in Maine, and us Mainers are very lucky that you claim yourself as one of us, because I know originally from California, but like my brother who served in the Navy up at the Brunswick Air Force Base, you were there, and you've become one of ours, and very, very thankful that you have, and thank you so much for your time today, too, on the Big Time Hoops podcast. I can't thank you enough.
You're so welcome, and thank you for having me, and I'm a Mainer through and through. I'll tell you what, I might have been born in California, but that's it.
That's right,
Mainer, Coach. Through and through from there.
We love it. Well, look, Coach Joanne P. McCauley, a 4-time ACC regular season champ, a 3-time ACC tournament champ, Big Ten regular season champ, Big Ten tournament champ, America East regular season champ, and NAC 4-time champ as well. And we can go across the awards as well. 2-time ACC Coach of the Year, Big Ten Coach of the Year, 3-time America East Coach of the Year, and AP Coach of the Year in 2005, also in the Maine Basketball Hall of Fame. Again, Coach Joanne P. McCauley, thank you so much for giving us all your insight on this very special topic that I know a lot of us Mainers hold close to our heart, and that, of course, is basketball.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and hello to everyone.
Thanks again. That's Coach P, and I'm Taylor Mannix. Thank you guys again for joining us on the Big Time Hoops podcast. Till next time.